It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 1. We're going to begin reading with verse 1. And so Malachi chapter 1. This will be the second time we've had the opportunity to be in this book. Hope you were with us last time during the study. If not, why, we'll try to catch up on what's going on in the book of Malachi. It's a tremendous study. Hope that you enjoy it. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that you would enjoy that. We have our Constitution, Plan of Salvation, and many studies on that site that I hope will help you to come to know and then grow in the Lord Jesus. If you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles to the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Minor prophet, wonderful study. Please that you prepare now as we read Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Eden saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread unto mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Now I say to you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm going to stop at that ninth verse with the reading, and we'll begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come together and once again to proclaim your precious word. It is so important that we study your word, that we study it not just one day, but we study it every day, that we just don't come together on Sunday and read a few verses of scripture, have prayer, sing a couple hymns, and go home. We need to realize that it's all about a relationship that we have. It should be a love affair that we have with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, and our love for him should be so great that we are willing to praise him and honor him and serve him however and whatever capacity we have. So, Father, please, just guide and lead us through this little book of Malachi that you have given us. Awaken us out of sleep and help us to see that it's all your love towards us. And then it all determines and it depends upon how that we react to that love that you've shown us? Do we accept it or do we reject it? So, Father, please, just guide and lead us today through this precious study. Bring people to know you as their Lord and Savior, that they would be saved, meet you at the cross of Calvary where you took all of our sins away, and that gift of salvation is offered. We just need to come by faith. And, Father, if we are saved, then it's time that we serve and we look to you for our power and strength. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead us today now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In very quick review, we looked last week that Malachi means my messenger. My messenger. And we know very little about Malachi. He is an Old Testament prophet, and we know his name. And it has been said that it is kind of a miniature look of the summary of the Old Testament. We know that Israel questioned God's love towards them. And we have recognized that. As we enjoy looking at this book, we're going to find that it has a partial fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy, which is found in Daniel 9. And then as we found and looked last time we were together, that in the book of Genesis 3:15 is the first mention concerning the Messiah. And in the in Malachi here in chapter 4, verse 2, is the last mention of the Messiah in the Old Testament. Malachi brings the last message to the people of Israel. And when we look at the words here, we find that it says the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. And that word is judgment. And we've realized and recognized that it is addressing all 12 tribes. It is very evident there. It does appear that not only is the folks that have returned out of captivity, from captivity, that they also, the ones that remained back in Babylon, in that region and area, it would seem that they have also receiving this word that it's spoken of here. And so that gets us kind of a start of what we have been through. They have returned from captivity, and there is a remnant that is back in, and there's not a great time period between Nehemiah and Ezra and Malachi, because Nehemiah is in the area of 445 BC, and we know that Malachi is in the time period of 435 to 396. And so there is only about 10 years that have lapsed from Nehemiah's time to Malachi's. And then Ezra, we see, is before that. And Ezra is 536 to 457. And so we're still shortly after the return. And we know that there is a problem, because as they go back to rebuild the wall and rebuild the temple, the complaint comes directly from the Lord, and that is, why are you living in cedar houses and my house is desolate? And so we know that they came back home, but they forgot that God had brought them back, allowed them to return. They'd forgotten, you know, why that they had been disciplined for 70 years. And so all this is some of the things that Malachi is talking about here. And so as we begin the study for today, we come to these words here in the second verse. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. They questioned his love. Israel, the remnant that returned, and it seems that this word maybe has went on and arrived back all the way into the regions of Babylon or that territory, that area of those that stayed. But it is really speaking to these all 12 tribes, the tribes that have returned back to Jerusalem, and is just a remnant. But it even seems that they not only question God's love towards them, and again, they've been chastised. They have been talked to, kind of, and they have been taken into captivity. And they come back, and their city and all is in total disarray. They have to rebuild everything. The wall has been torn down. The temple is totally destroyed, and so they have to begin rebuild. And so now that they're back, they're beginning to question the love of God, the presence of God, and it even seems that they are even almost quarreling with God about his love. Do you love us? Instead of acknowledging all the things that God has done for the nation of Israel, they are, instead of acknowledging it and serving him, instead of that, they're challenging him and saying, we want proof. We want some proof that you love us. You know, many times people want proof. They have to have proof. Well, I have all the proof I need because my Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He saved me. And he took my sins away. And he has set me on a path of righteousness, given the opportunity to live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. Do I live that life always? Definitely not. But he has given me the power and the opportunity. And he also allows me to come back and repent and tell him that I am so sorry that I have missed your will and I've missed your way, and so pleased that you would guide and lead me. It even brings a thought here that the love and the mercy that God has shown to Israel is almost too small to even mention. That is a very sad, sad condition that the nation of Israel is in. This is what Nehemiah and Ezra is dealing with. Well, we are dealing with the same today in this country and around the world. People do not acknowledge the blessings, the love of God. He has given us so much in this great country that we have the opportunity to live in. This United States of America, what a wonderful place that God has chosen for me to live. And I am so thankful, and I praise him for it, for the opportunity to live in this free land. And yet we see so many folks, and it seems to be government-driven, that we teach our children that the only thing to be thankful for is when I get an award, when I get a trophy. And of course, everybody gets a trophy today. Well, we need to understand that all blessings come from the Lord. If it would not be the Lord's will, it would not rain. If it not be the Lord's will, I don't care what kind of technology that we have in our corn and our soybeans, as we are so good at harvesting a great harvest. And yet if it not be the Lord's will, that seed would not bring forth one bit of growth. The rain would stop. It doesn't matter how much fertilizer, how many chemicals you put on there. If God would choose not to bless us with a bounty, with a wonderful harvest, we would have none. Now, Israel's mad because they think they've been mistreated. They think that they have been given a terrible, terrible direct here, because when they were taken into captivity, taken out of their land, why were they taken out of their land? Because they were disobedient. God set down the rules, and he gave them, the nation of Israel, the Jews, gave them an opportunity to have the land and be so blessed, and yet they begin to work and worship idols of the land. They begin to do things contrary to his will and his way. They were supposed to farm the land for 6 years, and the seventh years let it lay, replenish itself. God would give them a double portion the sixth year. What an offering, what an opportunity God had given these people. The promise had started back in the days with Abraham. Abraham was given this promise. But of course, we come from Abraham to Isaac. And so Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah. And then we have the twins, Esau and Jacob. Now here's where there's a great division takes place. Not only back in Abraham's day with Hagar and Ishmael, but also now we have Esau and Jacob. Why Jacob? Why Israel? Now, if you don't realize, the name of Jacob was changed to Israel. So when I go back and forth with those two, I could be speaking of the man of Jacob, Esau's brother, twin brother, or we could be speaking of the land of Israel, the people of Israel, because it is one of the same. As we look at the scripture here, these people can't find anything to praise God over. And God, through Malachi, is bringing back to remembrance the blessings that were given. But why have the blessings been cut off? Why are we no longer blessed? That seems to be the question here. You know, tell us how you've loved us. We don't see it. Oh, what an arrogance. And people today can say the same thing. I don't see the love of God. Where is the love of God? How does he love me? How has he cared for me? Well, he has loved you and cared for you in every way, even though you have spit in his face. You have used his name in vain. You have been blaspheming him in all that you do. And yet he still has shown that love. He still allows you to be able to eat and to live. And without his love, without God's presence upon all the world, it rains upon the wicked as well as upon those that follow him. And yet they still curse his name. And today in our schools, today in our government, they have worked so hard, that old devil's been busy, to take out every word and every thought and presence of God. Well, it's only going to be to our own destruction. To our own destruction is what's coming because of us beginning to do just exactly like the nation of Israel did. They said, wait a minute, how does he, is he even present? How has he loved us? Well, those are the questions that come. The land, their health, their blessings, everything that was given to Israel. Yes, right now it looks kind of dismal for them. And just a few years ago it looked more dismal because they were taken out of their land, taken captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, back into the land of Babylon, and they remained there. And the total captivity of the years were 70. They were taken out of their land 70 years. Why? Not because of God's hatred, but because of their hatred for God. They're looking away from the Lord. Now, You say, why then, if that's the way Israel is acting, why is it that Esau was treated in such a manner? It all goes back to Abraham. Abraham loved God. Isaac loved God. Jacob loved God. And we know that the promise of the Messiah is going to come through this nation, through this people, and was born in Bethlehem. What a beautiful picture we have of God's promise. And that promise, again, started back in Genesis 3:11. Now, we need to understand 3:15, I'm sorry, Genesis 3:15. They want proof. That's what they say. We want proof that you love us. And he comes with an example here with Esau. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for his dragons of the wilderness. And so no longer does Edom exist, the tribe, the land, the people of Esau. They have been, because of their hatred for God, their dislike for the believing there is a God, they worshiped the gods of the land, and they ignored and rejected the true God, Jehovah. Now, Israel, in the other side of that, has loved God. Jacob loved God. Jacob loved the promise of the Messiah. Jacob walked and wanted to fulfill this. And so as we look through the people, right now they have been set aside and they have been treated and been scattered all over the world. And the reason they have been is because they rejected the Messiah. But there's going to be a day that God's going to call them back and they're going to come. God's going to call and they're going to come. And that time will be the tribulation period, but an awful time upon this earth. And there's going to be a thousand-year reign with the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth, with his church, the age we're at right now, and with the nation of Israel as he calls them back and they come back to trust in him. But the other side of that is Esau never desired to know or give God any of the praise or credit or acknowledgement of his blessings. Never. And there's the problem. There comes the problem. Esau hated God. So in turn, the hatred, the displeasure, the turning away from Esau is told here in these verses of Scripture. I have a chapter and several verses in Romans that I would like to read that Paul speaks of concerning this. And so you'll find Acts, Romans chapter 9. And we're going to begin reading with verse 6. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. For they are all not Israel, which are of Israel. So you see, not all the Israelites, not all the Jews rejected the Messiah, rejected the true God, Jehovah. But many did, and that's what that comment is. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so it came down through Isaac. That is, they which are of the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, Sarah shall have a son. Abraham's wife was Sarah. The promise was Isaac, even though she was 90 and Abraham was 100. And not only this, but when Rebekah had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my might in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why dost he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay? For the same lump of make one vessel unto honor and the other to dishonor. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with such long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. That whole section of Scripture tells us a wonderful story. And God does choose who he's going to show mercy and who he will show the wrath to. It all comes to his foreknowledge. God looked down through time and he saw Isaac. He saw Jacob and Esau. And instead of going with Ishmael, God knew that Ishmael was going to be a wild man, and his descendants surely are. And we also then come with Rebekah, Isaac and Rebekah, and gave birth to Jacob and Esau. God knew that Jacob would love him, and God loved him because of the love that was returned. When God calls you, do you trust in him or do you reject him? See, that's the call. When God called Jacob, when God called Isaac, when God called Abraham, they accepted. They did not reject his mercy. They did not reject his love, but they accepted his love. And so then the love that was accepted that God has shown, then God in turn loves them. But Esau, Hagar, both of these never had a desire to serve or to love God and rejected and would acknowledge that God is not a God of love. God doesn't even exist, is some of the statements. We're going to serve other gods. And you see, God knew that. And so it's not that he has chosen one over the other, but because of being able to look down through time, he knew who was going to accept and who was going to reject. And that's all that statement here in Romans. And when we come back now and we look at Malachi, and Malachi is bringing the same argument up. And he's telling the nation of Israel, God has loved you. And this next section here, and we just really don't have time to hardly get into it, but it talks about, we will return and build the desolate place, thus saith the Lord of hosts. They shall build, but I will be thrown down. You see, they're of the opinion that if things are destroyed, and God saw fit that the things of Edom and Esau were destroyed, says, no problem, we'll just rebuild. And God says, you rebuild, I'll tear it down again. And he says, no problem, we'll rebuild. You see, there's an arrogance to him there. And with Israel, yes, times are tough, but God shows mercy and will rebuild. So, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?